The last surviving member of the Mills brothers, Donald Mills, died Saturday at the age of 84 after complications following brain surgery. The Mills brothers are one of the most successful and influential vocal groups of the century. They made over 2,300 recordings and sold over 50 million records. They were famous for their harmonies and their delightful vocal imitations of instruments. When they started performing in 1925, they were a vocal novelty group billed as four boys and a guitar. Here's the Mills Brothers' 1932 recording of Sweet Sue.
Every star above knows the one I love, Sweet Sue, Sweet Sue. And that moon up high knows the reason why, Sweet Sue, just you. No one else, it seems, ever shares my dreams. And without you, dear, I don't know what I do. In this heart of mine, you live all the time, Sweet Sue, Sweet Sue.
I spoke with Donald Mills in the mid-1980s, and he told me how the Mills brothers started singing together.
Actually, we started as young kids singing around the house. The four brothers, and we have three sisters, and our mother and father were both in music. And actually, we learned our harmony through them. They taught us all harmony, the sisters and the brothers, but the sisters never went into the business. As a matter of fact, we formed the quartet when I was 7 years old. And that's how we actually started. We started out doing barbershop harmonies. And listening for after years and years of listening to radio, we conceived the idea of imitating the instruments, which we were talking about before, through listening to Ellington's band who was coming over the airwaves from New York. And this is where we got the idea of trying to emulate the sounds of the Ellington music. That's how it all started.
So when someone's doing trumpet, they're really thinking Cootie Williams.
That's right. Or okay. Trombone, Trummy Young, or Bill Harris. You could name many of them.
Which instrument did you do vocally?
I did quite a few of them. Did trombone, trumpet, clarinet, saxophones. We all did.
How did you develop the ability to do that? You really have such an uncanny ability.
It's from the sounds that you hear. And being brothers, there was something that is it's a natural thing that you actually know what the other person is going to do. And hearing the sound of the oboe, for instance, for an oboe or a clarinet, you try to emulate that with the vocal cords. The trombone the same way, trumpet, clarinets. And my brother did the bass fiddle. He also did a tuba. And he also did trombone parts, which was the high part. He would jump from bass to a high falsetto doing trombone, the oldest brother, John.
Did you spend a lot of time in the bedroom practicing it, getting it down?
No, not really. We did most of our practicing on the street corners around our hometown.
Which was where?
In Ohio, Pickway, Ohio. Then we did a lot of the things in church. We joined the choir a few times in the church, and my mother used to almost run us out of church because we started swinging the hymns.
She didn't like that.
Oh, no. That was a no-no in church. But on the street was a different thing.
How did the people react to you on the street? Were you doing it for money?
No, we're just sitting around harmonizing, you know. No money involved in it.
When did you and your brothers decide that you wanted to try performance?
Well, actually, that started in 1925. I was born in 1915, and then in 1925, I was 10 years old. We went to a station radio station at WLW in Cincinnati, Ohio, with a band. We used to travel with a band doing dance engagements around through Ohio and Indiana. And they were invited down to do a radio show down there. They took us along with them as an act with the band. Well, it so happened that they let the band go and kept the Mills Brothers. That's how we were signed to WLW Cincinnati at that time.
Now, were you four boys and a guitar then?
Well, that's actually why we got into the radio, because we were imitating the instruments, doing the band instrumentations, things like Solitude, Sophisticated Lady, all those things that Ellington had done. East St. Louis, Too Low, Creole, Love Call, and all those things, you know.
Why did the guitar come about? Why was the guitar the one instrument that
you
had accompanying you?
My brother... My brother decided to go buy a guitar when he was quite young, and this is what we used to practice with. And that's how we got the idea of doing the instrumentation, him playing the rhythm, and we did the instrumentation things along with the songs.
We're listening to an interview with Donald Mills of the Mills Brothers, recorded in the mid-80s. We'll hear more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our interview with Donald Mills of the Mills Brothers. He died Saturday. Okay, you've mentioned Ellington a couple of times.
Oh,
and
yes.
How you did a lot of his songs. I want to play a recording that you made in the early 1930s.
Sure.
Of It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing.
Oh, yes, great song.
And which part are you singing on this?
I sing the trombone parts on it.
Okay, let's listen to The Mills Brothers as recorded in 1932, It Don't Mean a Thing.
It don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. It don't mean a thing. All you do is start to sing. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You've got that rhythm, give it everything you got. Oh, it don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing.
Mills Brothers recorded in 1932, and with me is Donald Mills, and that recording is just so good. I listened to it, and I just can't believe how much I enjoy it.
Well, thank you very much, Terry. We enjoyed making the recording because it was one of the things that we enjoyed hearing Ellington do, you know. And as I said, that was the greatest thing in our estimation was listening to Ellington's band, because he was so far ahead of his time as far as music was concerned.
Well, I figure they must have enjoyed listening to you a lot, because it was a tribute to the orchestra
to
hear you.
Because Ellington, I think the first time I really met Ellington was in Cincinnati. He came there to the Greystone Ballroom to play a dance, and we were working at WLW at the time. And I went out to catch his band at the Greystone Ballroom. And later on, after the dance was over, we all went down because he was traveling by train, and he was on his way back to New York, so we went down the train to see him off. And on the train, we got together with him and I forget who his guitar player was now at that time, and my brother John, and we were sitting on this train, And we went into a thing called East St. Louis Tootaloo. And he was amazed at the sound that we were getting from it, you know. And we just became friends from then on.
Did you hang out with a lot of the orchestras who were playing New York while you were there?
Well, I knew a lot of the orchestra leaders, a lot of the band musicians in the different bands, yes. And we, well, as a matter of fact, we used to have jam sessions practically every night somewhere in New York.
Which was? I'm sorry.
Of course, at my age, I couldn't go to most of them.
Of course, because you were too young to be legally admitted into the places that serve alcohol.
That's right.
Which were the bands that were the most fun to hang out with, the ones that had the greatest reputation for knowing how to have a good time?
Well, as I say, the Ellington Band, Cab Calloway, Don Redman's Orchestra, Jimmy Lunsford, and the Dorsey Band. You go back to, even Kay Kaiser, who I met many years ago in Chicago. He was a lot of fun to work with and be around, because everybody enjoyed one another, and at that time everybody helped one another. This was very important in those days.
I want to play another record that you made with the Mills Brothers in the 1930s. I'm not sure exactly when in the 1930s, but this was a session that you did with Louis Armstrong, which is truly among my favorite recordings.
Yes.
How did you and Armstrong get together for this session?
It was done in 1934. We were both working for the same company, Decca Records. And at that time, we used to do a lot of records with different people. Yeah, we did some things with Louis. We did some things with Bing Crosby. We did some things with the Boswell Sisters. We all interchanged and did a lot of things together at that time.
Did Armstrong enjoy playing with you?
We had a lot of fun doing this session.
How did you decide who would do the vocal trumpet and when the real trumpet would come in?
There was no arrangements made on these things. Uh-huh. We just walked into the studio and said, well, we'll do this, you do this, and we'll all come out and do the last thing, you know. It just worked out that way. We did the same thing with Crosby. There was no arrangements made. You just say, we walk in the studio and say, well, we'll sing the first chorus, or you sing the first chorus, we'll come in the middle, and we'll all go out on the last chorus. It's one of those things, head arrangements.
Donald Mills of the Mills Brothers, recorded in the mid-1980s. He died Saturday at the age of 84.